chapter 26, beginning to read with verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily, I say unto you, one of you should betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one to them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it, and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into Mount Olives. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we have your precious word. We thank you that you have brought this family together today. And please, please, that you would bring us close to you. You've brought us together, but we want to be more close, ever so close to you, dear Father. And if we come now and we listen to your word, we follow your word, we know that we will be closer to you when we leave than when we came. Father, please, we see and we read here of Judas. We realize that some can be among us. They can be among us every day. They can hear your precious word every day and yet still not trust in you as their Savior. So I ask today that all will listen and listen carefully and prayerfully. And Father, those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, that they will trust in you today. They'll come to the cross of Calvary where you died and offered that perfect sacrifice for them. And please, don't let pride, don't let anything keep them from trusting in you today and saying, Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. And then, Father, it's so important that it's made public, that folks know what has happened in our heart. We're to acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior to others, dear Father. And so please, that they be saved today and acknowledge that today to others. And please today, just guide and lead us through this precious time and through your wonderful word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Judas has just sold out to the devil for 30 pieces of silver. We find that back in verse 14 and verse 15. And then we find a feast day here. And now is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? The disciples, the Lord Jesus, ate all of their meals together. They spent their time together. They fellowshiped together. They learned of the Lord Jesus as they walked day by day for this 3 years of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And in times past, they also would be found in Jerusalem at the time of the Passover. because it was the law. And so if you were a Jew, you were in Jerusalem for the Passover. And so during those 3 years, I'm sure, that these disciples joined the Lord Jesus to have the Passover supper. So it was different than a normal supper would be. They didn't come and, they would gather together maybe out in the countryside, maybe at someone's home, and they would enjoy supper. You know, Jesus didn't have a house. He had no place to lay his head, so he didn't invite the disciples over for supper. And the disciples themselves were also traveling those 3 years always with the Lord Jesus. And so they too didn't really have a place to call home. This here is different than a regular supper. This is the Passover. This is a special celebration. Now we have in Leviticus chapter 23 verse 5, the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. Leviticus 23:6, on the 15th day of the same month in the feast is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so the Passover, and many times through the Scripture, Passover and Unleavened Bread, those two interchange because they go on at the same time. And so you'll hear them many times through the Scripture. It's the Passover. You don't hear of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and yet it will continue. It continues together. We have actually seven feasts, and again, Passover and Unleavened Bread come together, and that stands, of course, for Calvary, because we know what's about to take place. And so these feasts are not just something that the Jewish family celebrated in a year's time. It also is a calendar of events for us. We are looking at in the book of Revelation concerning the seven churches, and we've talked about how that is seven church ages. We'll look at those things. Also here, these seven feasts, they also speak of seven time periods, seven events in history. And so, first of all, the Passover, it is something that was given to them. We know that the very first Passover was in Egypt as they left Egypt, the death of the firstborn. They was to prepare the lamb in a certain way. They was to prepare it all girt and ready to go. They were to eat the Passover supper standing at that time. And so things are a little bit different here than the first Passover. But at this first Passover, they had to apply the blood upon the doorpost and the lintel, otherwise the death angel would have come in. And so that was the first Passover, and then the Lord instituted the Passover. Has given all these instructions to back in Moses upon Mount Sinai. Is where he received the law, the Ten Commandments, received all this instruction, and he received the plans of the tabernacle. All those things was gathered at the same time. And so they were to celebrate these events, and as we come now to the Passover, this day that we're here in Matthew chapter 26, it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover. That stands for Calvary. It stands for the cross of Christ. So the second event, second feast that's to take place in the Jewish calendar would be the Feast of First Fruits. That's the next, and so it could be called the third, the Feast of First Fruits. Well, we find that to be the resurrection, a picture of the resurrection. Next, of course, is the Feast of Pentecost. Now, we know the Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Weeks is another name for that, and that was held, and that was the birth of the church. That's when the Comforter come was on Pentecost. And so we know that Jesus died at the Passover, over the Passover season. We know that he rose from the dead 3 days later, the Feast of First Fruits. We know that the church was born on the day of Pentecost that same year. All this took place the same year, and so we have the birth of the church. Now, what's next? The Feast of Trumpets. When the trumpet sounds, it's going to call the church home. So the very next event upon God's calendar, we know to be the rapture of the church. What a wonderful day that's going to be the rapture of the church. And so you see, between number 4 and number 5, we're still in that time period. We're still in the period of the Feast of the Pentecost. We're of the church age right now. And so next will be the Feast of Trumpets. That's the rapture of the church. Then the Day of Atonement. Now, we have talked about that feast quite a bit, and we'll be talking about that concerning the study of the tabernacle at length. The study of the Day of Atonement. What a beautiful picture that is of the Lord Jesus and His saving power. But the Feast of Atonement, that feast is the tribulation period. That's 7 years of tribulation, the Feast of Atonement. And then the Feast of Tabernacles is the seventh and final one. That'll be the millennial reign of Christ. And so those are the seven feasts that we have. We look at those seven feasts, and we know that on the church calendar, a Jew that abided by the law as they should followed every one of these according to their time. And we do not celebrate the Passover because Jesus is the resurrected one. Neither should the Jews. No one should be celebrating the Passover today, nor the Feast of First Fruits or Pentecost or any of these feasts, because that was all the law was completed when Jesus died on the cross. But you see, they didn't accept Jesus as their Savior. So they continue to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover and Feast of First Fruits and Pentecost and Trumpets and Atonement and Tabernacle. They celebrate those each year. Now, we are to the Passover. This Passover is a time, again, different than an average meal, held at a different place, because all was to be in Jerusalem for this. We find Jesus in Jerusalem very little. They didn't accept him. That was the religious group. They didn't want Jesus around. But Jesus fulfilled every letter of the law. And so he had to be, because there were three feasts that are required, the requirement of a Jew to be in Jerusalem. And this is one of them. And so we know Jesus needed to be there. And also the disciples, they knew what the calendar said. They knew what event was there. And so this statement here, they didn't ask Jesus, you know, what are you talking about? This is the Passover. This is the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Because they knew it. They understood. And so when Jesus asked two, and we find back in Mark, I believe it refers to the two went to go get the place, why, it wasn't a strange request at all. They were kind of wondering where they were going to have the Passover. We need to have a place. And you see, they had none. But God, of course, took care of that. We look here at this Feast of Unleavened Bread just a little bit before we go on. The word leaven in the Word of God always refers to evil. It speaks of evil. It is something that needed to be taken away. Leaven need to be removed. It was Feast of the Unleavened Bread. The leaven had to be taken out for this Passover, and so it was something that was done in preparation for the day of Passover. We have something that kind of brings us to date today. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 6, verse 6 through 8, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And that's what we're to do each day. And so we still think and look at the leaven. It needs to get the leaven out. And so now again, we look at the 17th verse. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Jesus had no home. He had no place to have it. And again, Mark is the one in chapter 14, verse 13 says, and he sendeth forth two. And at his request, at the voice of the Lord Jesus, the voice of God, he sends out two to find this place. And they found the place and prepared for the Passover. the Lord Jesus at his desire can do and perform anything. And we need to understand that. We need to realize that we were looking at a graph that starts at Abraham and ends in the year 100 A.D. And when we were looking at that this morning, we talked about that, you know, God told Adam and Eve, I mean, they were to populate the earth. And we said, you know, at that time, death didn't exist. Well, the question was, where would all those people live if it would have come as God wanted it, for us just to populate the earth? Everybody living, no one dying, ever. Sin wouldn't be in exist, so you would be, everybody be perfect, be healthy. What a thought. What a thought. But to wonder, where would all these people live? We worried about the population. How are we going to feed the world? Well, the only example that I gave was God fed the 5,000 with a few fish and a few loaves of bread, and they filled the baskets when they were done. You see, we don't have to worry about anything. Whatever God desires, God can perform. It's for his use, for his glory. That's what we need to remember. It's not for our glory, it's for his glory. And so we need to continue to praise and honor him. So we find the place. The disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover in verse 19. They followed the Lord's command. They enjoyed victory because they followed the Lord's command. We would see, can see, and do see victory after victory when we follow Jesus. He's the one that gives us power. He's the one that gives us strength. He's the one that gives us wisdom to carry out the day. You got a challenge today? Bring it to the Lord. He will give you the victory. He will give you the strength. We trust in ourselves. We trust in the world. And that means defeat. But when we trust in the Lord, we will enjoy victory. In the 18th verse, Jesus says, go, say, he told them what to say. And those words were, the master saith, the time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. Instruction was given, the words were given, all the two had to do was go out and follow. And you know that word go in verse chapter 28, verse 19, which is the end of the book of Matthew, says, go ye therefore. It's a great commission. You know, we are told to go. When these two, they went as they were told. We need to go and share the gospel with this lost and dying world, because the words of the Lord are just as powerful today and just as strong as today as ever. And they are all powerful. The place has been prepared. They arrive. They come and they are seated. And as they did eat, the 20th verse says, now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. The place was prepared. It was a special time because it was the Passover, and so they come to meet to be there. And it wasn't the normal time. The food that had been prepared was different. Everything was as it should be according to the Word of God. And so this wasn't just a regular supper, and yet they gathered together. They were fellowshipping together, I am sure. And then as they sat down or reclined at the table, as it says, fellowship, the joy continued. And then the Lord made a statement that changed the whole evening. You see, Jesus knew this was the last Passover. Jesus knew he was the Passover lamb. The disciples didn't. They had been told, but they didn't understand. After the crucifixion, after the resurrection, then, now we understand. But they didn't understand. So even those that walked with Jesus for 3 years, listened to his teaching, they still didn't understand everything. We don't understand everything. But we need to trust in our Lord. We need to follow our Lord and praise him each and every day. But the words were said as they did eat in verse 21. Verily I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. One of you. That's a sad, sad statement. They were exceedingly sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? We look at this time of fellowship with the Lord. And again, please just kind of take yourself back to this place, to this room. Put yourself in the role of one of the disciples. You had been with him every day for 3 years. You'd enjoyed his fellowship. You loved his teaching. You knew him as your master. And this is just another Passover to them. It's just another Passover. You know, we need to count the sunrises. We need to praise the Lord every time that we're allowed to wake up in the morning and see the sun. It says, Lord, you've got another job for me today, don't you? Because I'm still here. There's something for me to do today, Lord. Are you to taking me home? So let me know what it is so I can carry your will out today. But every night when we go to bed, we lay our head on that pillow, we realize that we may wake in the presence of the Lord, because that could be our last night, our last time. We leave in the morning, we may not return. That may be the last day, the last time. But the disciples, I'm sure, were just like we are. We leave in the morning, we know we're coming home. We go to bed at night, we know we're going to wake up in the morning. We're just that sure. We make all kinds of plans and arrangements and everything. And I'm sure the disciples were no different than that. This was just another Passover. But let's look at Jesus. Let's look at Jesus. Jesus knew the timetable. Jesus knew that he was hours away from coming before the Sanhedrin. Hours away from Pontius Pilate. Hours away from being beaten. Hours away from the thorns being driven onto his head. Hours away from the cross. Hours away from when he would take on something that he had never, ever experienced. And that was your sin and mine. He took the sin of the world on, and he knew that was coming, but it was something he had never, ever experienced. You and I are born in sin. We don't know what it's like without it. But he did. He was perfect. And yet in the Gospel of John, and I want you to read the Gospel of John. It's, I believe, back in the 13th chapter. And if you would read that chapter this afternoon, because he just didn't begin here with the Lord's Supper very quickly. He washed the feet of his disciples. Remember the story with Peter? Oh, don't just wash my feet, wash me all over. Remember all that? Well, that's in chapter 13 of the Gospel of John. And so read that, because that's what went on among many other things up in the upper room prior to them going to the garden. But now we come to this place where this time of sorrow, this bitter time, there was always the bitter herbs that was eaten with it. We find that back in Exodus 12:8. This time of being betrayed and the time of facing the cross, all that was coming. To the disciples, it was another Passover, another day. But Jesus knew what was to come. And there was one among them that was going to betray him. And each one, they begin to say, "Is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? Is it I?" It's a wonderful position that we see the disciples in, because none said, "I think it's Judas. I think the one's going to betray you. I believe that's..." And he would name somebody else. You know, that's what we do. It's never our fault. It's always somebody else's fault. So we always blame somebody else. We always do that. But here, isn't it wonderful that John didn't name someone else? Peter didn't name someone else. They just inquired, "Is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? Is it I?" Not condemning one another. Is it I? This humility is a wonderful thing, and we need to possess that. We need to have the peace and joy of the Lord, and we need to have to be humble, to have His humility. And He taught that to the disciples, and the disciples as a whole had enjoyed that and received that and noticed that. And we need to do the same. Did you notice that no one suspects Judas? It seems that no one suspected him. He answers and says here in verse 23, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man of whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." How close are you to Jesus? Judas was so close that he dipped his very hand. And again, the Gospel of John, that really gives a little fuller picture. And I knew the time wouldn't allow us to go there. So please, this afternoon, read that. But to be in the same cup, to be in the same cup, how close are you? You know, you can have never missed a service. You could be a teacher. You could be the preacher. You could hold any position anywhere and be that close to Jesus and be a Judas, because you've not come by faith to Him. How can anyone walk with Jesus for 3 years and not trust in Him? Not see all the miracles? You talk about the human heart, the wickedness of the human heart. How can any man, I've always wondered this, how can any man ever go for 3 years and not see Him as God? You see, the eyes are blind, the heart's dead. Judas had to open that door, but he refused to. He refused to. You may be so near and yet so far if you just neglect coming by faith to Him. The sentence of Judas was very great, wasn't it? The statement here is, it would be better if you had not been born. That's a pretty strong statement. It would have been better if you had never been born. Judas is in the place of torment right now. Judas was tormented after he had sold Jesus out. But that level of torment will continue forever and forever and forever, and Jesus knew that. And it would have been so much better, Judas, if you had never ever existed, never been born, than to face what you're going to face because you refused me. But every person that's religious, that chooses not to come by faith to Jesus, will face the same doom. It would have been better that they have never lived than to spend eternity in hell. Never been born. Do we understand? Do we recognize what this judgment is, this eternal judgment? Judas made a choice. He walked with Jesus for 3 years, but he chose not to trust in him and accept him as his Savior. He walked beside him, but he never trusted him. He never asked him to come into his heart. By this, Judas gave Satan an opening, an opportunity. And Judas delivered Jesus to the hand of his enemy. It's hard to imagine why anyone would live this life without knowing Jesus and trusting in him. And yet each one of us know a multitude of people that make that choice. They would rather be religious, or they would rather be an agnostic. They would rather be against the Word of God, against God, denying God, than coming by faith and trusting in Him. And every one of us know people it's that way. And what a sad day. And Judas will be there with them. The disciples ask, "Master, is it I?" They ask, "Lord, is it I?" Judas asked, "Master, is it I?" Lord means you're the authority, you're supreme authority, you're the control, you control me. I follow you, dear Lord. That is Lord. But Master means teacher. It's just an official title, because you see, Judas didn't know Jesus. He didn't know him. So he couldn't refer to him as Lord. The question Judas asked was different because he didn't know him personally. The answer that Jesus gave was different because Judas didn't know him. What a sad day. Judas heard these words, "Thou hast said, according to other gospels, I believe only." No one else knew, because the other gospels makes reference that Judas leaves, and they really wonder why. Why did he go? Maybe he needs to go buy more food. You see, he was a treasure. He kept the purse. So maybe there's something for him to do. So they all wondered why he left. And so it's true that no one else heard this answer. He'd sold out to Satan. This wonderful picture of the Lord's Supper, of the Lord Jesus explaining to a group of men that didn't understand. This too was the first time. This would be the last Passover. And this is the first time that they hear of the Lord's Supper. It's all coming to a close. All coming to an end. Again, he washes the feet of his disciples back in the Gospel of John. And this takes place after Judas left. So now we're down to 11 and Jesus. Now he can come. And he says, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this vine, the fruit of this vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And then they went out and sung a hymn. We read these verses of Scripture every month when we come together. What a wonderful day and a wonderful time of fellowship for the 11. What a horrible day for Judas. It says back in the 14th and 15th verse of chapter 26, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went into the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas went to them. What's it worth to you? What a friend. Judas walked with Jesus for 3 years. And he went over and he said, what's it worth to you? They agreed on 30 pieces of silver. They negotiated for 30 pieces of silver. What's this world worth to you? Are you saying that I'm not going to accept Jesus as my Savior because I love this world too much? Why won't you come to Jesus? Why wouldn't Judas come to Jesus? The folks that you talk to, that you've shared the gospel with, have heard it many, many times, maybe just heard it once or twice, why won't they come? My friend, it's the old wicked heart. The wicked heart, the pride in that heart, says, I don't have to do that. I'm good enough. I don't have to do that. I'm good enough. And after saying that so many times, Judas got to the place. Did he hear rumor that they were, someone was looking? They tried to catch Jesus, so he heard rumor that they were needing an inside man. And so Judas went to him and says, and what's it worth to you? What's it worth? So there's Judas. This not ordinary supper, this wonderful supper, this special time of Passover should have been the most wonderful day. And it was for the 11. They received the Lord's Supper. But in Judas's memory, it will be the worst day. The day that his hand and Jesus's met. A day of betrayal for 30 pieces of silver. For 30 pieces of silver. After he left, still Jesus knowing this is the last Passover, I am the Passover lamb, then he begins as they were eating. Jesus took the bread and blessed it. Now, we always enjoy back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, and I'm going to just turn to that. I just want to read one verse. We read that each time. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. It says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. We get to do this till the day he comes to get us. What a great and glorious day that'll be, the day that he comes. Judas, he's in the place of torment. The disciples received and enjoyed one of the most precious, blessed things. I'm going to give you this because I want you to remember what's about to happen. He took the bread, he broke it, and he gave it to them, said, "This is my body." And he took the juice, handed it to them, and, "This is my blood. I've come to pay the ultimate price. I am the sacrifice." That's what he was saying to them in the upper room. Did they understand? No, they didn't. We look back now. We can see the broken body. We can see the shed blood. We know that he died for you and for me. Jesus had not finished the work of redemption. So there was a lot of reasons, not good ones, because it all comes by faith. But you can understand, Jesus hadn't died yet. So what are you talking about? But what's your excuse today? Because Jesus has finished the work. The Bible tells us so. History confirms it. Jesus paid it all. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Can't come to the Father except by him. Except by Jesus. It was a simple supper. Special supper. Because it was Passover. It was probably the most horrible day for Judas. Because his memory will keep that. Your memory will keep the days and the times that you sat here and heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and didn't come if you refuse him today. Your memory will keep that. And I believe that's going to be one of the torments in hell forever. Every time you heard it and rejected it. Please come to Jesus. We're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And then we'll have the invitation after the Lord's Supper. Father, please, guide and lead us today. All those that are here that know you as their Savior, we are here to enjoy the Lord's Supper, to enjoy this time of fellowship. But Father, for those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, please, that you'll just not allow them, don't allow them to take it, because it's to their own damnation. And we wonder, how can it be worse to be lost? Well, old Judas, he rejected you, and then he sold you. The wickedness of man rejects your love, rejects your strength, rejects your saving power. Please, dear Lord, today, move all of our hearts. Touch our hearts. We're going to continue with this on Wednesday night, Father, so please bring everybody back that we can enjoy that time of fellowship. Please just show us your way and show us your will, dear Lord. I don't want anybody leaving here not trusting you as their Savior. Now please, as we have the Lord's Supper, continue to touch our hearts. And then, Father, we'll have the closing hymn. Today is the day of salvation. Please, Father, bring him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.